I want to take you to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, tonight. We've had a great day in the Lord. I was expecting some great blessings this morning. It went well past my expectations. I love the book of Proverbs. I mentioned, I think, a week or so ago, and I think I've preached out of it three or four times in recent months. I've probably preached more messages out of the book of Proverbs than anything else. In school and chapel times, I use them quite frequently, if not most of the time. There have been times I've gone through from verse to verse, day after day, and dealt with those. And my goodness, what a tremendous blessing to have these within our soul. Got to remember that Solomon wrote these. You go back to chapter number 1, you find that Solomon wrote these that his son might have wisdom, that he might be able to have discernment and be able to live his life in accordance with God's holy will. So we look at verse number 9 tonight, verse number 9, and here is a foundation of wisdom. You might not see that at first, but I think you will in a little while. Notice what it says, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin?" Notice there, there's two questions basically. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening. We have the tremendous privilege to be able to come on this day, three different times to be taught, to hear the preaching. Lord, I pray tonight that our hearts might be open and attentive. And Father, we pray that through your sweet and wondrous Holy Spirit, that you might guide in what is said. You might open our ears, our hearts to the Word of God. And may we walk from here different than we walked in. May we have something for our soul that will last us for really time and eternity. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Notice that. Who can say it? Who can say it? I want to give you tonight a foundational statement to begin with. And I'm talking about wisdom in this case. You will increase in wisdom when you learn to mistrust yourself. Did you hear that? You will increase in wisdom when you learn to mistrust yourself. And I say that for a number of reasons, but I think that it is the prerequisite, I'll get the right word there, for this thing of wisdom. I ask you tonight, who can you fully trust? I mean, who can you trust completely all the way? Let me say this, no one, and especially you. You can't even trust yourself. We find that we're not that great. We're not like God. And wisdom includes knowledge that your heart is corrupt. Isn't that not true? We have corruption in our soul. Proverbs 28, verse 26, listen to what it says. He that trusteth in his own heart is anybody know what it is? A fool. That's exactly right. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. We cannot trust in our own heart. To walk wisely is to walk according to the way God wants us to do. Only fools trust their own motives, trust their own thoughts. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Now think about that a moment. The way of a fool is what? Right in his own eyes. He always thinks he's right. You probably know some folks like that. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. We're willing to listen to somebody else, what they have to say. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We can't even trust our own selves. This crucial fact, I believe, forces us to seek counsel for decisions from God. We need to seek His wisdom. We need to have wise men in our lives. And if we have this kind of thing in our life, it's going to keep us from proudly condemning other people and really cause us to cry out for God. And so you and I, we need to stop and look and see. We need wisdom because we're so stupid. Amen? We need it because we don't have any. We need wisdom because we're so foolish. It is innate within our very being. That's interesting. When you look here at this verse, we see here that a question is given. It's an interesting question because we find that it is a double positive with an emphasis upon the negative. Notice what it says. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? Well, nobody. Who can say, I am pure from my sin? Nobody. Not in our own power, not in our own style. It does not happen. So here's a literary style that is an interrogative. It means just a question thing of positives that creates a very powerful negative conclusion. What's it teaching us? We don't have what we need. We don't have what is needed in order to go through this life. Man's heart by nature is corrupt. It's very corrupt. Our motives are not pure. Solomon used the power of this rhetorical negative, if you please, to teach man his depravity and his great need for wisdom. Now, thank God tonight we have the Bible. Amen. The inspired holy book of God that is given to you and me. And this book that we call the Bible teaches that all men have perverse hearts and selfish motive. None of us excluded from that. We're all in this thing together. And a lot of times we pat each other on the back and say how marvelous, how wonderful, but really in and of ourselves, there's nothing. We are absolutely corrupt. Only thing that comes out good is when God can use us and God can work through us. Isn't that not true? We look back at Adam. And Adam, the father of humanity, ruined the human race by rebelling against God. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over all them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. What is he saying? Basically, we are a mess. We're a mess. I read this week. Adam and Eve were the only people, or the first people, who checked the box that they have read all of the rules and regulations of Apple and did not do so. All right. Since the Garden of Eden, all men by nature despise God and the righteousness that God has, and we love sin and we love evil. It's our makeup. Book of Psalms chapter 14, interesting chapter. The first verse is repeated again in chapter 53, but it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He goes on to say this, they are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that did understand and seek God. They are all, he says, gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. If you and I are going to realize tonight the only way to get wisdom is to see that we are sinful and that we need it so desperately, that is the need tonight. And many times we think we're wise. We're wise in our own conceit. Sometimes we think we have all the answers, and really we don't. That's a foolish thought, foolish statement. Job used the same kind of technique when he asked the question, in chapter 14, verse 4, he says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. His friend Eliphaz asked also, he didn't say too many good things, but here was one he said, what is a man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous. And then Bildad asked something very similar. How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? You and I were born with very sinful nature within us. The heart is tremendously deceitful. Above all things, the Bible says. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Listen to these last four words. Who can know it? I used to hear it and I used to say it myself until I got this verse in my heart. I used to say this, if I know my own heart, this is what I believe. And then I've discovered from God's Word, I can't even really know it. We are so desperately wicked, we don't even really recognize what evil lies down within. We can look at history and we can pull out names. We can look at a guy like Adolf Hitler, who was responsible for 6 million Jews dying. But do you realize tonight that you and I have the same capability? I remember when I was a boy about 7-8 years of age, the scare went through our community because they thought Charles Starkweather was headed to Council Bluffs after killing, I believe it was 7 people in Lincoln, and later there was 2 more. But do you realize I'm capable of that, you're capable of that. It's in our hearts. We're very desperately wicked. The human heart's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? No man can overcome this internal curse that is upon us, that twists our thinking and perverts our motives. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. He goes on to say in one wonderful verse, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. It's interesting, before and after verse number 9, He talks about the truth not being in us and having evil, wicked hearts. And the need of the hour is to confess it to God. Who can clean your heart? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. As powerfully stated this morning, He's the answer to anything and everything that's needed in our lives. Remember, Solomon's purpose to teach young men discretion and wisdom. And so we find there's some very important lessons. We think about wisdom, and we consider this thing of wisdom. Let me suggest, first of all, tonight, a prerequisite for wisdom is to know man's nature. That's what I've been dealing with. It is to know our nature. It is incurably foolish and depraved. You cannot trust yourself. And what we need is a holy cynicism that we have problems as human beings. If we're going to look at other people, we have to evaluate their opinions and thoughts on the criterion of the Word of God. There's no other way to do that. But by the same token, if we are going to evaluate ourselves, we need to do so in light of Holy Scripture. Paul said later, interesting words, let God be true, but every man a liar. We cannot trust our own opinions. We can't trust our own thoughts. So we must test our ideas by the Word of God. It is wholly necessary. If you and I are going to have wisdom, we first of all need to understand. We need it. We're so messed up. We need it. And too often, as we get older in the Lord, we begin to think, you know, I've got this thing figured out pretty good. When in fact, the only wisdom you have is whatever God gave you. Because in and of itself, in and of ourselves, we do not have it. If we have holy doubts about our motives and thoughts, I believe we might be a little more faithful to heed Solomon's exhortation. He told us on one occasion to seek the multitude of counselors that we might find safety. Why do you say that? Because so often we think we're right, but we need some good, godly counsel. Isn't that not true? We need other people to guide us, as well as the Holy Spirit of God. But I found something. The Holy Spirit of God uses other people in that guidance. As we think about that, there's something that's very needful for us when it comes to these matters. First of all, don't act too quickly or arrogantly. Proverbs 18:13 says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. We need to think about what we're going to say. Amen. Have you ever said something and wish you hadn't? Have you ever said something that didn't come out right? What happened? We engaged mouth before we engaged brain. We didn't stop and think about it and consider in the light of God's Word and God's holy will. I believe it's good for us to show our responses by studying the answers ahead of time. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. As we compare Scripture with Scripture, we find that the wise man doesn't answer right away, but the fool's going to answer right off. And you and I tonight need to understand our hearts are wicked. Our thoughts, they're not the thoughts of God without the Spirit of God moving. And what we think inside so often takes us the wrong direction. What we need more than anything else in our lives, if we're going to have the wisdom of God, we need to know we need it. Which brings me to the second point. And we find in James chapter number 1, verse number 5, an interesting verse says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Isn't it interesting that salvation, we have to recognize our need and seek God? Isn't it interesting that what we need to do for somebody who's lost is to get them lost in their own heart and mind? They've got to know that they're a mess. They've got to know that they're a sinner. And as Brother Schaffner mentioned this morning, he didn't even know that. And so many people in our city and around about us, they don't realize that. Our young people have grown up with the idea that there are so many things that are okay to do that aren't. Because they've seen it all around them. And it just seems so commonplace that it seems natural to them. And what a horrible scenario that is. But you and I, we need to first of all understand, if we're going to get saved, we've got to get lost. But what we forget to do is that when we're going towards sanctification, when we're headed after salvation, the same principle is still in play. As with salvation, we must recognize our need and seek it from God. What did he say to start with? If any of you lack wisdom. We studied the Word of God, as we've mentioned tonight, a few different verses, a few different places, have not been exhaustive at all in that. We find that we're not wise at all. We look at all the verses in the book of Proverbs about fools, and we'd have to raise our hands and say, man, I'm guilty of many of those. And if we really got honest with ourselves and could really see ourselves in the light of God's eyes, we'd probably have to say, I'm guilty of all of them. We're fools. And we need to understand, the only way we're going to get wisdom is when we recognize where we're at and cry out to a holy God for what we need. This afternoon, there's some things weighing heavy in my heart and my mind, and some things that I just like to see. And I sat in my office after preparing the message, and all these thoughts were in my mind, and I began to cry out to God, God, I need wisdom. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what direction to go. I don't know what to do. Have you been that place? Only God can answer those things. And God wants us to come to that spot to recognize we're not so smart ourselves. Turn to Him. Ask Him. Seek Him. And if we look at that, it's a promise. Let him ask of God that what? Giveth to all men liberally. What's God saying? If we ask, He'll give it. Why are we going to ask? Because we realize we need it. Why do we realize we need it? Because we see how foolish and depraved we are. It's interesting how God will answer that prayer. I have found that He does it through, as I mentioned a moment ago, a multitude of counselors, godly friends. God uses that in our lives. God uses Bible messages. I don't know how many times I've gone to church, and probably the same with you, and the preacher got up and preached, and he might have been preaching on something entirely different, but God used that to speak to my heart, to show me a direction. How marvelous that is. What's very interesting to me is counselors, godly friends, and Bible messages can be found within the realm of the local church. Is that why God established it? I think there's something to that, don't you? And we refuse so often the answer that God wants to give us. What's wisdom? What's wisdom? The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is when we recognize we're sinful and we deserve the awful judgment of God. He also says the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. I don't believe knowledge and wisdom are the same thing. Knowledge is a storing of the facts. We pick up books and we read it. We find about this. We find about that. We hear people talk. We learn about this. We learn about that. I don't know about you, but I'm 71 years old and getting close to 72, and learning is as exciting as it's ever been. I read more stuff now than I've ever done in my life. And really, it's an exciting, I was going to say experiment. It's not an experiment. It's an exciting ride. What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge is learning all the facts. Wisdom is knowing how to use them. Wisdom's knowing how to use them. I like to put it this way. Knowledge are the smarts that are up in the head. Wisdom is the ability to make decisions based upon those smarts. We need wisdom, do we not? If any man lack wisdom, well, we recognize we can't do it ourselves. We cry out to God, and He says that He will give it to us. Matter of fact, the word liberally is used there. And it says He upbraideth not. He's not going to scold us for that. He's going to give it to us. How we need God's wisdom. Amen. I covet your prayers on that. No doubt you covet my prayers on that. God, give us wisdom. Because there's so many things out there that affect the lives of others. Listen, this old body's going to die one of these days, and you know, you'll stick me in the ground and, you know, say a couple words and go off and maybe plant flowers there later. But the lives that are impacted is what is really important. And we have a testimony to people around about us. And there are folks, if they don't hear about Jesus, it might be because of us. If they don't see Christ in their lives, what witness are they going to have? If they don't have somebody say, well, why don't you come to church with me? There might not ever be anybody that does that. And we know those things, but we do not have the wisdom. Can I say that? We make the wrong choice about doing what we know we should do. We make the wrong choice. It's not a matter of, you know, God, I think there might be somebody in this world that needs my help today. No, there's about 8 million of them, or 8 trillion. I don't know what the number is. Billion. I get lost after 1,000, don't you? And we people need us, but we need people as well. And we need the wisdom of Almighty God. We got decisions to make every day. And they're just, I mean, stop and think about it. Tomorrow I'll take my wife, she'll go to the grocery store, and she got to make all the decisions. What am I going to fix, and what am I going to do with this? And what does Jean like? She thinks of that all the time. By the way, she thought of that when my kids were home too. She fixed it for me. And they just got leftovers. Didn't hurt them too much, if you've noticed. Oh my goodness, you need wisdom. What are we going to do? How are we going to operate? What's the next thing? I remember days when we were in Bible college, and man, I made a pretty good paycheck, honestly. But we had living to do. I was also paying tuition. I was going full-time school, working full-time, sometimes more than full-time, and money was tight. We'd figured out, some of you won't understand this at all, but we figured out that we could survive on $20 worth of groceries every week. You can't hardly buy a sack of popcorn now for $20. And so we had to figure out how to do that. she figured out how to buy, I think, 3 or 4 pounds of hamburger every week and buy a few other things and, you know, put all that through. What do you need? You need the wisdom of God. You know some things, and then you've got to make decisions based upon that. Now, those are very mundane things, but there are people out there that need Christ, and we need to make the right decisions to affect their lives. If a man lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. Do we lack wisdom? Definitely. We're amiss. We need Christ, not only for salvation, but to give us that discernment to go from day to day, from moment to moment. You all are in the workforce. You've got all kinds of things facing you. Sometimes there's great pressure upon you. And what you need is the holy discernment of Almighty God. And when you can relax and rely upon that, it's a marvelous thing. It's not easy to do, most of you know. But if a man lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. When's he going to ask? When he realizes the mess he's in and says, oh God, I can't do it myself. I don't know how to do it. I sat in my office this afternoon and I said, Lord, I really don't know how to pastor. I've messed up so many times. I've done all these different things and sometimes feel like a great failure. And Lord, I need wisdom. You need wisdom. Amen. So see what you don't have and ask God for it. And you got a promise that He'll give it. Father, tonight, thank you. Thank you for this great promise in your word. And Lord, I pray tonight that you might help us to realize just how needy we are of the wisdom that only comes from you. Lord, we're so prone to find it in other places. Today, people find it with Hollywood stars and all sorts of different things. But God, it's only from you. So God, I pray tonight that you might work in our hearts, help us to understand that we really need you in all of our decisions. Bless and work in us. May you be glorified as a result. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.